This is The Medley, and I'm your host, Blake Crash Priddle. It's November, and November is hunting season in most areas. When most people think of hunters, they may think about Republicans or conservatives or rednecks. But did you know that there is a group of liberal hunters? That's right. There is a Facebook group dedicated to liberal hunters called Liberal Hunters of North America, a group that was started by Jeffrey Cashin. Start by telling us where your passion for hunting came from.
So I took a pretty unconventional path towards hunting. I'm from suburbia, just outside of Columbus, in a small town, well, medium-sized town, I suppose, 40,000 people in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. And there's not a lot of hunting that goes on there. It's suburbia. But I fished a ton as a child, and I met a friend in my teenage years who had hunted with an uncle, and you know, he took me a little bit under his wing, his uncle did, and we went out, and we weren't very successful or anything, and I don't think the uncle really knew what he was doing either. And that was like my first introduction to real hunting. And it was unsuccessful in regards to harvesting an animal, but, you know, it sparked my interest. And then once I got to college and I had a little extra time on my hands through studies, I went to OU down in Athens, Ohio, and it's just surrounded by woods. And the Wayne National Forest is down there too. And so I had some time and I just decided, you know, take the passion that I had in fishing and put it to something different and keep me outside. So I went down to the local pawn shop and purchased a really cheap crossbow for what I could scrap, you know, together. I think it was maybe $25. Went to Walmart and got some oversized pajamas and put them over my winter coat and just trekked out into the woods and tried to figure it out. And it was very difficult and I was not successful for that first year, at least. I didn't even see a deer for probably 20, 30 hours of hunting in the woods. But, you know, it started that passion to be outside and to be in the woods and it held strong. And from that point on, it's always been a part of my life.
Your interest in hunting is very similar to how my interest in hunting was sparked. Only I started off with a slingshot and a BB gun instead of with a crossbow. And it took me a while until I got my first bird. And I got my first buck when I was 16, and I'm still waiting to get buck number two. What made you decide to start the Liberal Hunters of North America Facebook page?
I don't have any friends really that were in hunting or are in hunting for that matter. We lost touch with my good friends from high school and we were really good friends. But as I went off to college, he went his own path and we diverted and our politics now have kind of kept us separate to be honest. So I didn't really have anybody that I was hunting with. And so I didn't really have any friends. So the only way that I could talk about hunting was to be associated with some of the Facebook groups that, you know, tons of people are a part of, like Bow Hunters of America. And the one here in my state was Ohio Deer Hunters, I believe. And I had to navigate kind of sitting in the background and hiding in the background to some degree, just sharing my knowledge. But then with those kind of groups, and if you've ever spent much time in them, they quickly fall into the conservative rhetoric that is so prevalent in those groups. And I just bit my tongue because I wanted to be a part of it and I wanted to learn from what they knew. And so I just kind of bit my tongue, but then eventually one day, and I don't know how many years it's been ago, been now, probably 3 or 4 years ago, somebody had said something on there and I don't exactly remember what it was, but you know, it just struck a chord with me and I kind of felt like I'd had enough. And so I said something in regards to it, and it was obviously something conservative related. And I said something obviously from somebody on the other side, and it didn't go very well. By the end, I'll just say, by the end, somebody had said, I think we should go hunt him, talking about me. And, you know, that was like, oh my gosh, this has kind of gotten crazy. So I reached out to the group administrator, and his response was, well, you don't fit. Maybe you just don't fit our group. And I'm like, well, that's an interesting take when somebody, in your group has threatened me, essentially. And so I did a little more digging, and I found that, that guy that threatened me and was trying to rally some people up, and I don't know if it was joking or not, but it sure scared me. I just decided, yeah, it's time to move on and do something different. And that same day, I created Liberal Hunters of North America. And when I went back and I checked that guy's profile to try to figure out where he was, he was really close. He was within, you know, a quick drive, 30 minutes maybe from my house. And, you know, I just was like, it's just not worth it. It's time to move on and try to create something that works for me. And that's where it started.
Well, I'm really glad that I found the group, because for a while I thought that I was the only, you know, liberal hunter out there. And then I discovered, of course, that both my grandfathers are liberal. You know, in Canada, we have the Liberal Party instead of the Democrats. I later discovered that some friends of mine, they like hunting, but they're liberals too. So I invited them into the group. And boy, did I learn.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're a part of it. And yeah, it's amazing that there is the number of people like you. I thought I was rare. And so the few people that stuck up for me in that group, I just private messaged them and said, hey, and there was only a couple, you know, maybe two or three. And I said, hey, I'm just going to start another group. Feel free to join if you're interested. And we'll start our own group circled around hunting, where it won't be so aggressive. And so absolutely. Yeah. I would say when it does come up in the group, there's passion from both sides still. And I'm, you know, I try, what I've learned over running this group is to not let myself get too involved in the politics of it. And instead, I've just created a place where people can have that discussion without me being too, without voicing my opinion on the matters too much. I just try to stay kind of neutral in a lot of it, just to make sure that the group runs appropriately. And I only get involved in those kind of situations when it gets just too heated and it just gets off topic or more personal. And then I get involved. So I actually try to keep myself and my strong political views, especially like on gun control, kind of away from it. Nobody asks me, and maybe they know that I'm probably not going to be too open about it. So I just let people kind of communicate there and discuss those topics there. But as you were saying, it would be really cool if Tim McGraw was a member of the group, or Garth Brooks or whoever fits the category. But I will say there are a few people in the group that are relatively famous. For example, trying to think of his name. He just wrote a book, and maybe you've seen it in there, on gun control. He worked for the gun industry for a long period of time, and he kind of tried to open the lid a little bit and let us see inside of the gun industry from his perspective. And his name escapes me, but he's a member of the group, and there's a couple others. It's funny. I think a couple others may be in the group that are use accounts that aren't their real persona, if you will, in an attempt to be a part of it without their notoriety being there. And one of the members has reached out to me about that, and just maintaining his persona on there is kind of not being who he actually is. And that's fine. And I told him I would be fine with that. You know, I just want it to be a safe place for people to feel comfortable and to learn and to, you know, build relationships that are lasting. So.
Well, it would certainly be awesome if Tim McGraw or Garth Brooks joined, because they're both not only famous country singers, but they're also both liberal hunters. Tim McGraw says that he has a shotgun for hunting birds. He loves to wing shoot, but is in favor of gun control, you know, which is something that a lot of conservative hunters are not. I'm Canadian, and I support the assault rifle ban. Would you say that some of the members are in favor of gun control and that some of them might not be?
Yeah, absolutely. That's been one of the reasons why you know, I've been hunting is because trying to find a way to still, which I think is natural, to eat meat. So, I mean, we have the teeth structure to do it. So, you know, it's a natural thing, but there's got to be a better way. And factory farming, obviously, for all the great it's done to some degree, by getting food to people, if you're not careful, and a lot of people haven't been, it can be very inhumane. And I'm a science teacher as well, a high school science teacher. So I spend a lot of time talking about some of the ways that livestock is treated in America and around the world, not just in America, but around the world. And so I think hunting is far superior in that the animal has the opportunity to live a full natural life, in most cases, full to roughly the end of their, what would be their maturity. And most people don't take underaged animals. And so they spend their time in the wild in a natural setting. And even though the death of an animal can be obviously painful, and it's not a pretty sight, knowing that it spent its entirety of its life in a natural wild setting, I think outweighs that, the down part of the sad part of it all, which is that you do have to take their life in a way that sometimes isn't pretty, you know, and it's not, there's a time of suffering, unfortunately.
Tell us about your favorite hunting adventure, your most memorable one.
You know, I've had a lot over the years. I'll tell you, probably I can narrow it down to two. One was the first time that I went hunting with my father, who also was not a hunter. And one day in college, when I decided I was going to try hunting, I said, "Hey, are you interested?" And he was like, "You know, I like being outside, you know, I guess, sure, if you're interested, I'll try it." And I was like, "Okay, well, let's go take the hunter's safety course." And I set it up and we went together and took the course together, took the test, both passed. And then we went out together in my dad's SUV, and we drove down to the Wayne National Forest, which is a couple hours away. And we had no idea what we were doing. And this was after I'd even tried to hunt in college a little bit, after I'd just gotten my license. And we went down to the Wayne National Forest, and we stayed in the back of this small Honda SUV, just parked randomly in the Wayne National Forest. And we didn't know anything. We just had our weapons. We felt comfortable with our shots, but we really didn't know anything. And so we... for some reason, thought it would be best to haul down a ladder stand through the woods of the Wayne National Forest, knowing nothing about the Wayne National or how up and down you would be hauling this thing. We ended up halfway in a swamp that was it was because of a beaver dam, and we were hauling it across this beaver dam. But you know, the time that I spent with them, and even though we only saw one deer that whole weekend, that was probably my favorite hunting experience, just because it was him and I together. And that's what one of the best things about hunting is, that, you know, you're sharing your time with family, and there's some camaraderie about it. And that's part of why Liberal Hunters is what it is that the friendships that you make and the stories that you tell and the time that you spend together with people in the woods or preparing for it or thinking about it, you know, it's very meaningful. So I would say that's one of mine. The other one is, so my son, he's now 14. We went when he was 5, but he didn't have a license or anything, obviously. But we hauled out into the woods, and I had gone out a few times and seen deer moving in a very specific area, like over and over and over again. I was like, "Oh, great, this is it. This is the time I'm going to take him out. I'm going to set him up. You know, he's going to be there. We're going to see deer." I wasn't planning on shooting anything or anything, but... we get out there, and as soon as we sit down, there's a combine that goes off, and it starts churning up the soybean field off to the side of us. And I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, all this work! I knew where the deer were going to be. I was going to make this perfect." And so I had to just kind of play from that point. I was like, "Oh, look behind the tree. You know, there's something white over there moving around. I think it's a tail." And you know how you do, as you know, somebody in charge of a little kid trying to make something exciting, even though I don't think it was very exciting. I mean, he liked the combine, but you know, that was a good experience. And there was no deer seen that day. And there wasn't, you wouldn't call it successful that we didn't bring in any meat or anything like that. But the memory, obviously, I think for him and for me is what was important that day. And oddly, I just thought about it. Neither one of those situations was actually a harvesting of an animal. And I guess that goes to show how important it is for all the other parts of the hunting. It's not the kill. It's not the harvest. It's not the meat. It's bigger than that. And, you know, I didn't even think about that until after we had that discussion that my two favorite times were times we didn't even harvest anything. One of the times I didn't even see a deer. My dad had saw one deer that time we were down there on that weekend, I believe. So, yeah, it just goes to show you, you know, how powerful it can be just being together and how hunting can bring people together.
My godfather always told me that even if you don't get anything, oftentimes it's just nice to be out in the bush and that the deer are a bonus. I've met a lot of conservative hunters myself, but fortunately, they never threatened me or anything like that. You know, we just agreed to disagree, and these are people that I went hunting with. Are there any misconceptions about hunters that you'd like to clear up with some people?
Well, I would say, you know, the last two stories that I provided you were talking about the relationships and the time together being in the woods. And, you know, it's so often not about the hunting. And the deer is the bonus. The meat is the bonus. That's all just a bonus. But in reality, it's just being together and being with people and in all walks of life. And I share a lot of commonalities with people who are conservative, too. It's not just that I would only go out hunting with liberals. I mean, my uncle is a distant uncle. I found he lives up in Michigan, so I don't hardly ever see him. But I went out hunting with him, and he's very conservative. Very much into conspiracy theories too. I mean, like very, very right wing, and a lot of the things that are going on in conservative politics right now, he's all for. But when we were in the woods together, it all goes to the side, and so it, you know, it's just about finding and building relationships in nature and being outside and enjoying nature, enjoying the, you know, sitting in a tree stand in the early morning and just watching the forest come to life. You know, not many people get to do that. And I think it becomes less and less every year that there's just less of a percentage of people who are spending that kind of quality time in the woods. I think what people need to understand about hunters in a whole is that, you know, we're passionate people about nature oftentimes, and conservative or liberal, it doesn't really matter. We all still have the gripes about how to, you know, control the population and the number of the deer that are appropriate. And is the ODNR, in our case, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, doing the right thing? We all have these kind of discussions and, you know, but we're just passionate people. We're not bloodthirsty or something where I think even people in the liberal community, very much so, I think, believe that if you hunt, then you're some kind of like, you have some bloodlust or something. You know, it's not that. It's so much more than that. And I could run off a list of things. It's not just the camaraderie. Like you talked earlier, it's, you know, the ethical treatment of animals. And I know killing an animal sounds unethical, but when the alternative is, you know, a 3x3 foot pen where the animals are sleeping and standing in their own feces their whole lives, you know, that's unethical. And so that's where I think people need to understand that it's a bigger situation. It's not about just the kill and about the harvest. It's so much more than that.
And I would also have to agree that a lot of liberal hunters also believe in climate change and global warming, and they want to do what they can to protect the environment so that our grandchildren can enjoy nature and so that they can go out hunting.
And hunting itself can conserve and protect our climate by maintaining forested areas as opposed to, you know, shedding the land of its, of everything that makes it natural and replacing it with pens full of animals eating and sleeping in their own feces, which can contribute massively to global warming. Some of the worst greenhouse gases are methane coming from cows. And as the world becomes more and more accustomed to the Western diet, our land is going to continuously be shed from shed of nature and being replaced by climate change creating animals. And I don't know enough. I mean, obviously the trees are a huge carbon sink. And so to remove those and to replace them with things that have very short lifespans with very minimal amount of carbon in them, I mean, it makes sense, but I don't know the science enough to really make an argument one way or the other there, honestly.
So if you haven't done so already and you're a liberal hunter, please join the Liberal Hunters of North America Facebook group, which now has a store. So Jeffrey, please tell us a little bit about that store that you launched.
The store launched about maybe a year ago. We did some t-shirts and some stickers. The money from it goes to Special Olympics. So my daughter has Down syndrome and she's a member of the Special Olympics in Westerville, where we live. And so we decided just to send the proceeds there, but future sales will go to different organizations, but we do have a hoodie coming out soon too. We got to finalize some things there. So, but it is open and running.
Jeffrey, it was awesome to have you on the show. Thank you very much for your time and best of luck hunting this year.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And it was great talking to you. I hope that more people join the group, not just because, you know, we need more people or we want more people, but I think they need us to some degree. A lot of them, they feel like they're outsiders. And so I know it's a good place when we run it. We try to run it well. There's a whole group of us. It's not just me. We have a bunch of moderators that help out too. But it's a place where you can feel welcome, and we try our best to make sure that that happens. So yeah, I look forward to people joining, and I appreciate you giving me the time to chat today, and hopefully it sheds a little light on how liberal hunters kind of view the hunting sports, and you know, hopefully, like I said, it recruits some more people in the hunting that may not have been interested in the past or felt like it was just out of place.
And that was Jeffrey Cashin, the founder of the Liberal Hunters of North America Facebook group. That's our show for this week. And remember, here at the Medley, we're all kinds of different.